question that we have to answer, not only now, but not only before we leave this building, but before we leave this earth. Are you wise or are you foolish? We join today's text with Jesus sharing a parable with us. We talked about the parables before. We talked about how a parable is a non-spiritual story that illustrates a spiritual truth. This parable is about 10 bridesmaids, or scripture says virgins, if you will. They were bridesmaids, groomsmen, virgins. They were out preparing themselves for a wedding. According to the text, the scripture says, verse 2, that five of the 10, half of them were wise and the other half were foolish. And during this time, people use oil lamps to light the path, especially at night. They use oil lamps for light because they didn't have the street lights like we do now. They didn't have sophistication like the iPhone with the flashlight on the phone. They couldn't do what we can do now. So they carried around oil lamps. And oil lamps helped them see at nighttime especially. They carried the lamps so they could see. Now, oil lamp is an object used to produce light continuously for a period of time. When that oil ran out, so would the light. So the oil is what helped the light stay afloat. The oil in the lamp was very important because it helped the light stay on. Again, an oil lamp is an object used to produce light continuously for a period of time using an oil-based fuel source. Now, the five foolish virgins took their oil lamps out to the wedding, but they didn't take any oil to refill the lamps in case the oil ran out, because when the oil ran out, so did the light. But the wise virgins, they were prepared. They took their lamps, but they also took extra oil with them to make sure in case their oil ran out, they can refill it and the light will continue to go. You see, they were preparing themselves for a wedding, and during this time, weddings were different than weddings are now. While most scholars don't agree on how weddings were back then, there's really no blueprint, no path, no writings, if you will, on how weddings worked back then. Most scholars do believe, or agree, I should say, that the bride, I guess the way it worked was the bride would be escorted to the groom's house by the bridesmaids or the virgins. And they will wait for the groom to get there, and then they will be escorted by the bridesmaids or virgins with their lamps to the wedding ceremony and feast. And so everybody will wait, basically, for the groom to come. So it's a little different. Everybody now waits for the bride to come. But during this time, a lot of scholars believe everybody waited for the groom to come to his house, pick up the bride, and go to the wedding feast, escorted by the bridesmaids, the virgins, with their lamps. You see, but in the text, the groom took a long time to come. He took a while to come. The scripture says he was delayed in his coming, and while they were waiting on the bridegroom to come, all the virgins, all the bridesmaids became tired. They all went to sleep. When the groom finally showed up, they woke up and got their lamps ready because it was now time to escort everybody to the wedding feast. But because the groom was delayed in his coming, the foolish virgins didn't prepare. They didn't have enough time to prepare to get more oil and have light for their sources. So they asked the wise virgins, listen, give us some of your oil, because we're about to run out of oil. But the wise virgins said, well, listen, if we give you some of our oil, we won't have enough for ourselves. So you have to get the oil for yourself. Hurry up and go to the store. It's a Dairy Mart around the corner. It's a John Negro Walmart around the corner. Go get your own oil. Come back. And by the time you get back, we should be ready. Amen. Go with me for a little while. Amen. I'm paraphrasing. So when it came time for everybody, amen, to go, the foolish virgins had to go out and get their own oil to refill their lamps because their lamps was going out. But by the time they got back, the wedding feast was going on. It was taking place. It was happening. And so, but when they got back, they knocked on the door and begged to get in the feast, but the groom would not let them in. He said, I do not know you. I ask you again, are you wise or are you foolish? What made the virgins wise or foolish was not the amount of money that they made at their job. What made them wise or foolish was not the bank that they chose to put their money in. What made them wise or foolish was not the education that they obtained, was not how smart they were in intellect. But what made them wise or what made them foolish was not the school that they attended or the grades they obtained when they attended school. What made them wise or made them foolish was not the political party that they associated themselves with or the house that they could afford to purchase. What made them wise or what made them foolish was not the neighborhood they could afford to live in. You see, the only thing that differentiated the wise, you see, I used a big word there. That's a good thing. Amen. I'm distinguished. Amen. I got my brown suit on. I'm using big words. I'm on my way. Amen. The only thing that differentiated, I can't say it twice, it's okay though, y'all know what I'm talking about. Amen. The wise from the foolish was their decision to prepare. Amen. The only thing that was different between the two was one prepared and one didn't. The scripture says the five who were foolish didn't take enough oil with them to refill their lamps when the oil will run out. But the other five who were wise took enough oil with them. They took refills of oil with them in case their oil ran out. You see, these virgins didn't know when the groom would come, so they just had to be ready. Amen. The scripture says no man knows the day, no man knows the hour. In the same way, we don't know when Jesus is going to come. We just have to be ready. Amen. We cannot play around. We cannot joke around. We have to just be prepared. We have to just be ready. Amen. We have to understand, amen, how important it is to be ready. But you see, many times we get so caught up on the things of the world. We get so caught up on the things that I talked about earlier, how much money we make and what bank we have our money in. We get so caught up on what school we attended and what grades we got when we went to the school. Amen. We get so caught up on what degrees we have and how many letters are behind our names. We get so caught up on the type of car that we drive and how much money we make per year. We get so caught up on how affluent we have become and how affluent the neighborhood is that we live in is. We get so caught up on these things that we fail to realize that no matter what we accomplish in this life, the real question is, will you be ready when Jesus comes? Amen. We get so caught up on the things of the world. We get so caught up on our busy schedules that we fail to realize the real question is, are you wise or are you foolish? Amen. You see, as these virgins waited for the groom to arrive, they all got sleepy. They all went to sleep. You see, sleep represents rest. It represents a break. It represents relaxation. I had a day yesterday like crazy. I was from the start of my day running around 8 o'clock that morning on my laptop. Then I ran to my mom's house because the kids needed something. They was at my mom's house, so I had to run over to her house, drop stuff off. Then I ran back to the church to make sure the things were ready for when the people who volunteered for the car wash got here and it was ready for them. And so I did clean the church, waiting on them to come because everybody was late. Hey, amen. I'm not talking about nobody. I'm just letting you know everybody was late. I'm just keep telling them like it is. Everybody was late. So I'm cleaning up, doing what I got to do. People started around to help me clean up. I'm going around. And we all went around when they got there, ran around the neighborhood. And then I got back from that, went all the way, our way to Medina, came all the way back, picked up the kids, 9 o'clock at night, then I had to cook all the food that I had in there prepared. I made six dishes, amen. Then I had to make sure my sermon was ready. Then I got ready. Listen, I was busy. So when I laid down and go to sleep, I was resting. I was tired. Had a lot going on. It's okay. I'm used to it. I'm just a busy guy. I'm just used to it. But see, this is the thing. It represents relaxation. It represents sleep. It represents rest from your labor. You rest after your effort. You rest after your labor. You rest after sweat, after putting work in. But see, the foolish virgins, they had labor. They didn't do anything. So why were they resting? They were so tired from doing nothing. They hadn't made any effort. Why were they sleeping? They wasn't even prepared. Why were they resting? And many of us are just like these foolish virgins. We don't have a story like the pastor of all our busy day. I'm sure we all busy, but we think we busy doing nothing. Oh, y'all busy. You see, we think we're so busy, but a lot of times we're busy doing nothing. And we want to sleep and we want to rest. But like the foolish virgins, we rested, but we haven't prepared. Why are you just chilling while your soul is perishing? My God, you should write that down. That's powerful. Why are you chilling when your soul is perishing? Why are you so comfortable in this world, but you're indifferent about the world to come? Why are you partying it up, living it up? I was at the wedding last night, and they were saying, hey, man, we don't know when we're going to die, so we might as well party and live it up. No, you might as well give it like to Jesus, because you don't know when you're going to die. Amen. You're going to waste your time partying, waste your time doing nothing, and you're going to miss out on the opportunity that God has prepared for us. Why are you so comfortable? Why are you living it up when God is not pleased with your life? Why are you enjoying this life but haven't prepared for the life to come? You see, sleep represents doing nothing. It represents passing the time. And many of us are sleeping, although Jesus is soon to come. Many of us are wasting our time partying life away, wasting our time doing nothing, wasting our time complaining, wasting our time feeling sorry for ourselves because things didn't work out the way we thought they should, wasting our time smoking our life away, drinking our life away, partying our life away, being foolish with our time and unprepared for the Lord's return. It's time for us to wake up. Amen. If you haven't prepared, let this be your wake-up call. Get up and don't be snoozed. You better get up right now because this is your wake-up call. Wake up. It's time to get ready. Don't be foolish. Be prepared. Amen. Don't sleep when you haven't prepared. Don't rest when you haven't prepared. Don't enjoy life and do all these things, getting busy with life, and you haven't prepared for the Lord's return. I'm just resting my eyes. I'm not sleeping. That's Charles. Wake him up. And I can't say nothing. He's just like me. I start my school at 4. I mean, I start my alarm at 4:30 in the morning. I don't get up to 9. Why is that? Because I know at 9 if I do it, I'm going to keep getting snooze. And then I'm going to be late to my appointment. So I start at 4:30 because I know I can snooze a few hours and I'll be fine. It's crazy. But my son is the same way. I wake him up. My wife wake him up, I should say, because... You know, if I wake him up, he'll get up. But she wake him up, and he just lay there, play games, snoozing like me. Can't sit down. Then I go in there, Charles, get up. I'm not asleep. Yes, you are. Uncomfortable, wrapped up in him. I'm not asleep. Yes, you are. And we just like little Charles. I'm not asleep. I'm just resting my eyes. I'm not asleep. I know. I know the Lord is coming. I know. I wake up soon. I'll stop hitting snooze soon. I'll get up. I know he's coming. I know, Pastor. I know you're right. I know. I'll come to church soon. I'm going to be there. I promise I'm going to get there. I'll repent soon, Pastor. I know you're right. I'll repent soon. Amen. I'll get serious about the Lord soon. I'll surrender my all soon. I'll start serving God soon. I know. I'm not asleep. I'm not asleep. And the longer we put God off, the more foolish we become. That's good. The longer we put it off, the more foolish we become. We have to understand that we're not fooling nobody but ourselves. You see, you're trying to repent, but then you'll be in too deep. It'll be too difficult to get out. You're trying to go to church, but every week is another. It's another excuse. You're trying to surrender, but it's right now. It's just too inconvenient. I mean, I'm enjoying life too much. Don't be foolish. Wake up. You see, these virgins had a lot in common. They were all virgins. They were all tired. They all went to sleep. Why are you going to get on the foolish virgins? The wise virgin went to sleep too, right? They all had a lot in common. They all got tired. They all went to sleep. And like these virgins, we may have a lot in common. We may look the same. We may think the same. We may do the same activities. We may have went to the same school. We may have grew up together. We may go to the same church. We may work at the same place. We may hang together. We may go out together. We may canvas the neighborhood together. We may enjoy life together. We may do business together. We may even vacation together. We may make money together. We may do a lot of things together, but make no mistake, I'm prepared. You see, I'm like the wise virgin. I have prepared myself. You see, I won't be doing these activities until I make sure that I took care of my first care of business. Amen. We may do a lot of things together, and we may have a lot in common, but make no mistake, I'm prepared. You see, we may hang together, but when Jesus returns, amen, I'm not going to stay with you. We ain't going to be hanging together no more. I'm going to be with the Lord. I don't care if you're prepared or not. Amen. I told you to get it together, but listen, I ain't got nothing to do with you then. I'm going with Jesus. It's important for us, amen, no matter how much we have in common, no matter how close we have become, amen, you have to realize you have to get your order for yourself. You have to get your own order. You have to get it for yourself. You see, because of five foolish virgins were unprepared, they tried to borrow oil from the people who were prepared. They tried to borrow oil from the people they had been spending time with. But like the wise told the foolish, listen, you can't borrow mine because I ain't going to have enough for myself. You got to get your own. I may be special to you in the same way. I may be your best friend. I may be your cousin, your nephew. Amen. Your grandson, your son. I may be your favorite cousin. I know if I'm your cousin, I got to be your favorite cousin. Every time I call my grandma, I say, hey, you know who this is? No, who is it? It's your favorite grandson. Well, I got so many. I said, no, it's your favorite one. Amen. Praise God. I'll let you know. I know I'm your favorite. Amen. I may be your brother or your husband or father. Amen. I may even be your favorite preacher. Amen. I know I'm your favorite preacher because you came here today. Amen. And hear what I got to say. And I'm all you got right now. I'm all you got. I'm all you got. Amen. I may be special to you. I may be somebody. I may be this or that to you. I may be your close friend. But you have to understand, you can't borrow my oil. You got to get your oil for yourself. You see, it's important to get it for yourself. You see, it makes no sense to get close to me, but never get close to him. It makes no sense to get close to me, but never get close to him. I'm not your ticket, and you can't borrow my ticket. Amen. You must get the ticket for yourself. You see, unlike the things of the world, spiritual preparation can't be bought. It can't be borrowed. You can't use your intellect or your good looks or your charm. Your good looks ain't going to get you in. Your charm ain't going to get you in. Your talking your way out of stuff, that's not going to get you in. Amen. All the things that we rely on in this world, the money that you make is not going to get you in. It don't really matter if you got millions in the bank or $2 or your account is overdraft. When Jesus comes, it's not going to really matter. Amen. We have to realize, amen, nothing else besides Jesus gets us in. Not even our good works will get us in. When the foolish virgins asked to borrow some oil from the wise virgins, they probably thought, well, they might as well share. We've been hanging together. Amen. They can give me some. Amen. They probably thought, well, we're out of time. Amen. He took too long to come. It's too late. They probably thought it's not fair. The groom took a long time. Amen. When they asked to borrow, when the foolish asked to borrow the wise, they probably thought, it's the groom's fault I ran out of oil, because if he would have came on time, he took too long. You see, this is because, this thinking is because when you live foolishly, it seems hard to serve God. When you live foolishly, it seems hard to live right. When you live foolishly, it seems hard to come to church. It seems hard to pay your tithes. It seems hard, amen, to do the thing that you know you're supposed to do. It seems hard, amen. Consequences seem unfair. When you live foolishly, consequences seem harsh. Consequences seem severe. When you live foolishly, you don't think about the consequences until the time to pay them. You overlook and you take for granted the fact that you're going to end up having to pay. You're going to end up coming to an end, and you take for granted that the consequences will come. But we need to wake up. You see, these foolish virgins went to get more oil. The wedding still went on without them. You see, the wise virgins escorted the groom and the bride and the party to the wedding feast. And while the foolish virgins were out trying to get more oil, the wedding went on without them. And while you're wasting time living foolishly, wasting time doing nothing, wasting your life on foolish living, the kingdom of heaven is happening without you. You're missing out on all that God has for you, wasting your time doing nothing. The scripture says that later, after the five virgins who returned, they realized the door was locked. They stood outside, knocking on the door. Lord, open the door for us. It's me. It's me. I'm out here. I got my oil now. I'm ready to participate. But by the time the foolish virgins got back with their oil, the door was locked to the wedding. They knocked. They begged. They pleaded, trying to get in, but it was too late. And many of us are just like these foolish virgins. We waste time being foolish, waste time doing nothing. Waste time sleeping instead of preparing. And by the time we get serious, and by the time we're ready to surrender, by the time we're ready to repent, it's going to be too late. As I get ready to close, I was downtown going to a restaurant that I really like. We went there last year for our the pastor's anniversary. Crop Bistro. It was a really great place. I love it. And I went there on a Saturday because they do Saturday and Sunday brunch. And I love brunch. I'm a brunch head. As you can tell, I got brunch serving tonight. Amen. This evening, I should say. I love brunch. But I went to the valet to park my car, which I always do, and they said the valet wasn't available till dinner. And I'm like, it's brunch. I want to park my car. But they didn't let me. So I had to find a parking spot. And you know downtown is downtown. So you know downtown is really hard to find parking spots. And they charge you for everything. It's crazy. So I couldn't believe it. So I drove around looking for a parking spot, drove in circles, looking down the streets, looking down at available things. I found one, and then somebody beat me to it, and I was so mad. But I was saved, so I couldn't really say what I wanted to say. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. So I pulled and kept driving around. I'm getting hungry. And then not to mention I have somebody behind me following me. So they trying to find this parking spot as well. So now I'm like, okay, let's just find somewhere. So I pulled in a parking lot. And the parking lot had big signs everywhere. Don't park here. If you park here, you're going to get towed. Now, I saw the signs, but I'm thinking it's a Saturday. Who's really watching? They'll be all right. It's cool. I was tired of driving. I had the guy behind me. I'm embarrassed. I'm like, I don't want him following me. I'm taking him to this nice restaurant. He don't believe it's nice because I'm driving around. Maybe he don't think I'm going to pay for it. I don't know. But I need to find somewhere to park. So I parked in the parking lot. And they said, don't park here. Don't do it. If you park at your own risk, only people who park here can go on a shopping plaza. Don't do it. You will be towed. I'm like, oh, come on. Took the risk. I'm a risk taker. I took the risk. And when I got back, what happened? My car was gone. I was so mad. Ooh, I was mad. My blood probably was boiling. Because like foolish living, consequences seem unfair. Consequences make you upset. Even though it was my fault, I knew I shouldn't park there. I knew the risk I was taking when I parked my car, put the beep, beep, put the thing on. I knew the risk I was taking. And I was upset. I even called the people crooks for taking my doggone car. You know, it's all about the money. Why they got to do that? Now I got to pay all this money to get my car. I was so mad. I was so upset. I called them crooks and everything. And they told me not to park there. You see, the consequences like when you live foolishly and do foolish things, consequences seem unfair. Now I wish I would have just drove a little longer. Now I wish I would have just parked a little further down the street. I had all these options in my head of what I could have done. But it was too late because my car was gone. My car was gone. And if I would have just humbled myself at that time and thought about it then instead of being so impatient, maybe my car would not have gotten towed. But because I was so impatient, I ignored the signs. I ignored the warnings. And how often do we take God's signs for granted? How often are we taking God's warnings for granted, his mercies for granted? We must realize that now is our time and today is our day. We must not take this opportunity for granted. You see, because the groom was delayed in his arrival, they thought that they had time to rest. And it seems like because the consequences of our actions, of our foolish living are delayed, doesn't mean they aren't coming. It just means that we must be prepared for when they do come. God is so merciful. Because he's so merciful, we waste time on foolish living. But a time is coming when the door of mercy, like in the text, will be locked. And when that time comes, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the door. You don't want to be begging on the door, Lord, let me in. Lord, it's me. I went to church every Sunday. Lord, it's me. I paid my tithes. I gave an offering. Lord, it's me. I was close to a preacher. I was real close to a pastor. Lord, it's me. Lord, it's me. I was part of the organization for years and years. Lord, it's me. Lord, it's me. I cast out demons in your name. Lord, it's me. I preached the gospel. Lord, it's me. I was a deacon on the deacon board. Lord, it's me. I sung on the praise team. Lord, it's me. Lord, it's me. I was one. I gave my life to you when I was early, at an early age. Lord, I got baptized when I was 10. Lord, it was me. It's me. It's me. It's going to be too late for the door of mercy locks. Don't be on the other side. It's not a time to be foolish. It's a time to be ready. The time has come to ask yourself, are you wise or are you foolish? Put your hands together and come out to the door. You're here today. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. You're here today. Gospel message that Jesus came to die for your sins. You're here today, you never knew that sin was in time. You went contrary to the word of God. And as hopeless as that sound, because all of us have sinned, the scripture declares, and have fallen short of the glory of God, all of us are in need of a Savior. And as hopeless as that sound, Jesus said, listen, I'll be the one to go die for their sins. I'll be the one to take their place on that old rugged cross. I'll be the one to pay a penalty for the thing that they did, that they should have done. And he took nails in his hands for the things I touched I never should have touched. Nails in his feet for the place of my feet took me.
that I never should have called. Crown of thorn on his head for the thoughts I thought I never should have thought. Pierced the other side for everything that I did that I should have done. And he died. He died with my penalty on him. He died. He took my place. He took my penalty. And that would be a great story if it ended right there, but that's not how our story ends. The scripture says on the third day he was risen up out the grave, and he's now seated at the right hand of God, alive and well right now, but alive forevermore. He's alive. He's not dead. And we thank you for his resurrection. We serve a risen Savior. If you're here today and you never heard the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, why don't you come and let us pray for you? Accept Jesus into your heart. If you're here today, you know the gospel message. You know what the preacher's going to say. He can finish it off before me. But you're not living for him as the Lord in your life. You see, you accepted him as the Savior, but you haven't surrendered to make him the Lord. It's important. You still go where you want to go. Do what you want to do. Live how you want to live. Say what you want to say. You are the Lord of your life. Your feelings rule your life. Your emotions rule your life. Your past rule your life. The thing that you've been through rule your life. You have not surrendered to make Jesus the ruler or the Savior of the Lord authority in your life. It's time to surrender. It's time to repent. It's time to turn away from what Jesus died for. It's time to turn away from it and make him the Lord, the ruler of your life. You hear today, Jesus is not the Lord of your life. You need to rededicate your life. You need to recommit. Why don't you come and let us pray for you? If you hear today, you desire prayer for any reason whatsoever, now's the time. Not today. It's today. Why don't you come?